let me begin by saying what's in a name. Compensation or damages, if that is what the actual payment is, should be within the tax exemption zone. But revenue officers will look closely at the nature of the payment. The Revenues Employment Income Manual explains that compensation for loss of office is usually within Section 401 ITPA 2003, which would mean that the payment is exempt up to the £30,000 exemption limit. However, the manual repeatedly warns its officers that payments are sometimes given that label mistakenly and that they may be earnings from the employment and therefore chargeable under Section 62 ITPA. What about an example? John is a sales representative and he announces to his boss that he is leaving to take up a job elsewhere. He's entitled to commissions on sales that he's made, and his boss, because he's a nice man and he likes John, he agrees to pay this as compensation. The payment is not compensation, and it should have been paid under deduction of PAYE income tax and Class 1 national insurance contributions. If the revenue were to pick this up and establish the facts, they would be going to John's employer to recover the tax that they failed to deduct. Genuine compensation payments that are not paid under a contractual entitlement are not derived from the employment and are not payments for services past, present or future will potentially be exempt from income tax up to the £30,000 limit. As I've already said, such payments should be outside the definition of earnings for Class 1 national insurance contributions. And this means that whatever the amount of the payment, whether it's £31,000 or £310,000, would not be liable to Class 1 national insurance contributions. It's either in and liable in full, or it's outside the definition of earnings and not liable to national insurance contributions. NIC rules in this case do not follow the tax rules. Please do not forget that. Okay, well, ITPA, Section 401, charges payments and benefits that are not otherwise chargeable to tax, which are received in connection with A, the termination of a person's employment, or B, any change in the duties of or the emoluments from a person's employment. That second part of Section 401 is important to remember, because what effectively it says is that it doesn't mean that the employment has to cease for there to be a potential exempt payment made. I know of a number of cases where I've advised where someone has had to take a reduced emolument, take reduced duties, perhaps because of business difficulties, and if they were paid compensation for the reduction in their duties or the reduction in the amount they were paid, they could be entitled to an exemption under Section 401B. Something always to bear in mind. Anyway, payments within Section 401 are chargeable to tax under this section and not under Section 62 if and to the extent that the amount paid exceeds the £30,000 exemption limit. It's important to remember that the £30,000 exemption limit applies to all payments and any benefits in kind which are charged by this section, and certainly it's not limited to cash-only payments. Again, I'll give you a simple example. If we have an employee that's given a cash lump sum of, say, £25,000, and as part of his termination package, he's also allowed to stay in the medical insurance scheme, perhaps at a cost of £2,000 per annum, for the following 3 years. Well, in year one, the year that he's terminated as far as his employment is concerned, he'd receive £25,000 cash, non-contractual, exempt. And he would receive £2,000 worth of the medical benefit, total £27,000, less than £30,000, exempt. In the following tax year, the £2,000 medical benefit would still be exempt, because the total would then have become £29,000 and still within the £30,000 exemption. However, the following year, the medical benefit of £2,000 added to the £29,000 carried forward would mean that only £1,000 would be exempt, and the balance of £1,000 would be taxed in that third year when the benefit was received or enjoyed. Also important in this example to note, there would be no Class 1 National Insurance contribution liability on the £20,000 cash, and certainly no Class 1A National Insurance contribution liability on the benefits in kind provided as part of the termination package. And logically, if the payment is exempt for tax purposes, you would expect it to be exempt for national insurance purposes. There will only be an income tax charge in respect of benefits in kind, either contractually entitled benefits or amounts in excess of the £30,000 exemption, when the benefits are actually received or enjoyed by the former employee or director. Cash payments and benefits in kind are taxable for the year in which they are received or enjoyed, rather than on the date of termination of employment. I make this point because some years ago they used to be taxed on the date that they left. That law changed, so it's now when they receive the cash or benefits. That is when they're taxed. Be aware of that. Pay as you earn can only be applied to termination payments that are made in cash, as opposed to benefits in kind. But, again, be aware, the pay as you earn and national insurance contribution regime extends to more than natural cash as we would understand it. It also extends to any share option or share-related benefits, with a proviso that the shares or share options are what is known as readily convertible assets. This isn't the time or the place for me to go into that in any great detail, but you just need to be aware of it. Because another common problem with share options and termination payments is where the options that were granted when an employee or a director was in the employment are later exercised and the money produced, the profit realized, by the director or employee after the employment has ceased. Unfortunately, as the law stands, the employing company remains responsible for operating PAYE and deducting Class 1 National Insurance contributions on those share benefits even after the employment has ceased. This really means that arrangements should be put in place to allow the company to recover the income tax and primary Class 1 National Insurance contributions due from the former director or employee when the options are later exercised.